my great privilege to introduce Pastor Kenneth Kwan, our senior pastor. Let's give a hand to him. He'll be giving us the message this morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Well, I would like to share with you a documentary video of the Iraq mission trip. And then afterward, I will share with you the testimony and the story.
Two and a half years later, here we are. We visit the northern part of Iraq, and this belongs to Kurdistan. That was March 26th to April 9th. We have 12 people. After we left LAX, California, we arrived Turkey. And from Turkey, we went to Erbek. That was the northern part of Iraq. We drove for 3 hours and arrived the Hawk. And we start to visit those refugee camps, or you can call IDP. And we saw so many children was playing on those dirt and those place just like a wasteland. Seeing the situation like this, we went to the grocery store, purchased food supply, and brought it to these people in a truck. As we distribute the food to them, we saw that they have no eye contact. And we feel so sad. They felt so shameful. In our hearts, we just want to restore them with dignity and with honor. We also ran the medical clinic and have the people who came in long line while other children was playing outside. All we know of is hug them and smile at them because this becomes the universal language of expression of love and care. After a heavy rain, the ground became so muddy, but it couldn't stop us from paying them the visit. We visited from one camp to another camp, and after several camps, we get to know so many people. We visit them. Behind everyone, they have a broken story. You really break your heart when you hear just like this lady lost her children, captured by ISIS and lost her husband, or like the other family, lost all the males. It was difficult for them to survive in this male-dominated society. We also saw many men with no job, many youth have no school, and even we see people have no place to live. They end up that they need to stay in the barn house and driving the animal to live outside while they're housing inside. Well, we provide them another load of grocery, distribute to them, and at the same time, we also care for those children. We visit a place belongs to Dr. Paul, an American who lived in Iraq for 9 years. He tried to build a safe house for those ladies who escaped from ISIS, used to be the sex slave. This man, Dr. Paul, really have a compassion for those ladies. But due to the factor of lack of funding, he could hardly finish the building. Well, we also visit the Holy Land of the Yazidis. A lot of them never seen the Chinese before. They were so surprised, but also touched by seeing those Chinese who care for them. Well, we visit the people, and then we use the van to bring them to our clinics. We ran into a lady called Nori. She was pregnant for 5 months. And one time she had her right arm burned severely because of the severe pain. She could hardly eat and she was at the edge of dying. But our team arrived in time and gave her the IV solution. Normally the doctor never carried this, but this trip, one of the doctors just felt to order the IV solution and then gave her the injection After 2 weeks, she appeared. Obviously, she became a lot better. Well, we saw so many children and we played with them. But afterward, we felt like that we need to purchase clean and new clothes and shoes for them. So we gave each of them one pair of shoes and then a set of new clothes. This expressed our love to them. And also we want to restore the dignity and restore honor in their heart. Among the children, there are many orphans, and we also try to help them. But as we deliver more food to them while they are returning back to their place, we feel so sad because we just don't know when will be next time that they can receive food supply again. Well, practically, what can we help? If you are medical personnel, you can offer your service and visit them with our medical teams. If you are non-medical personnel, you can still come to join us and offer your smile, your hug, and your love to them, telling them that we do care and to pay them visitation. Yeah, you may be 74 years old, retired, you can still come. You may be a dentist, currently working, you can still take a break and come. Or like a doctor who has a whole family join him together in this trip. Just like our leader who has lost eyesight of one eye, but he said that as long as he can see, he still wants to come to help these people. There are another ways to sponsor purchasing of sheep and sewing machine so that they can start to have their own business. A sheep will cost roughly about $300 US. A sewing machine also costs about $300. Or you can help Dr. Paul to finish building up his safe house for those escaped ladies from ISIS. So we welcome you, Asian American Christian, to join in this Yazidis restoration team and relief team to bring hope and to bring love to these needy people. Welcome.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us such an honor and privilege that we can serve others who have the great needs. And we just ask today the Spirit of God hover over us and move in our spirit so that we can unite with you, the will of the Father, to become the blessings to the people far, far away or nearby. Whoever you have brought around us, they will become the people that we offer our service. And at the same time, we would love to share the gospel with those who haven't heard about the good news. Will you move among us here today, as well as in those in the Kids Church and those people in the Chinese congregation, that we are one and we also receive the calling from you and respond accordingly. Thank you, Lord. We commit to you this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me see, this is the right button. I would like to share with you a message. The title is called Homing, Get on the Train. Well, in September, am I hitting the right button? Thank you. Okay. I didn't take lesson of how to use a remote control prior coming here. Well, but let's continue this story. In September of 2015, I saw a picture, and then there was about a boy, 3 years old. He got drunk in the ocean, and his body was found on the beach of the seashore of Turkey. And this shocked everybody. Thank you so much. Chris, size, please. Okay, thank you. And then I began to think about, many people talk about the situation, but rarely have the action. And I pray to God saying that there's a huge need among these so-called refugees. And as a church, what should we do and what can we do? We are just a small congregation, but how can we match up with this huge demand in the world? Then the Lord impressed me with this imagery. It's just like a train. There are many trains passing by, but there would be only one that God wants me to get on. And God just impressed me, just like you go to the train station and wait for me. There's a certain one that I want you to get on, and then I will impress you, and you walk to the edge of the platform. Why that particular train stop and have the door open, you walk in, and you rest inside. That's the time for you to worship, saying that, I want more of you, Lord. And at the same time, you are not actually in a static situation, but you are in a movement because you are in a train. And then you can pray to me, not only more of you, Lord, but more people have you, Lord. Now that is upon the foundation of worship. You are doing outreach. You are doing well mission. And then I respond to God saying that I'm willing. And God just brought me to get to know Willie, who became the leader, who has been the leader of this mission trip for 2 years, and also Dr. David. I went to their home and then met a Iraqi pastor. It happened that he visited Los Angeles. That was in August. But I didn't feel like that was a time for me to go to the mission trip, even though they offer a trip in October and also December. But by the time there was last March of this year, I felt like that this would be the time. Because the Holy Spirit gave me the prompting, saying that this is the time for you to get on the train. The train called Home. It's a leading people home. It's just a train called Homing. Leading people not only back to the gospel, the Father, but also get to the heart of the Father. You know, just like in the story of prodigal son, you know the son came back. But if his heart didn't return back to his father and try to understand the love of his father, sooner or later, he will leave home again. So not only that we return home, so-called, get to the salvation of the Lord Jesus, but we need to capture the heart of the Father. Number three, the father of that prodigal son obviously wants that son to get married someday, right? Now, same thing. God wants this church to multiply. To multiply the size in size and quality and quantity. So God wants us to grow in love, and then we will become a strong and also grow in size so that we will become a stronger base, a home base to do local outreach and the world mission. And that's exactly what the Lord impressed me to do. You know, I want to share with you very briefly only two passages. One is recorded in John chapter 19. Let us read it together. This New American Standard Bible. Let's read it. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Many people quote this passage wanting to pursue the will of God. However, Jesus is no longer on earth. And then we could say that I would really want to follow the will of God. But at the same time, all these wordings become the terminology or become jargons because we just do not know how to capture the will of God. Well, another passage in the New Testament shed the light for us. Let's read it together. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Or in NIV version, and New International version, you say that keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, while we are walking in the motion, according to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, He will lead us into the will of the Father. Exactly the same thing that happened to me. And I know that there was a time in March that I should go. Now, you know that at that time, the Trump administration changed the regulation and actually banned the visitors from 7 countries, including Iraq. And that has created tremendous tension between the two nations. And many people persuade me not to go. But the more I pray, the more I feel like that this is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit guide me into the heart of the Father, saying that this is the season. I also feel like that Jesus moving, pour out his love in my heart and saying that this church, VOH, must move on in order to get on the train to reach the destiny for VOH. As a senior leader, you have to go and spearhead such a well-mission action. And by the time I make the decision, our president changed his mind and saying that all six nations still remain pending their visitors to come to our nation, except Iraq. And I was so grateful that I know that that's the right time. The train arrived and the door opened. I should step in. So in March 26th, I start this journey together with Pastor Ye of a Chinese congregation. And I recognize why I was in the train or so-called in the mission trip. When a church, or we call the family of God, is driven by mission, the church is moving like a train, homing people to God's ordained destiny. Also that in the United States, we tend to just like share the gospel with someone that with their lips. But by the time I get there, I recognize that no. We got to start with the physical, to meet the physical needs of these people. And then we will earn the right or earn their hearing that they would allow us to so-called share with them something spiritually. And afterward, you need to handle a lot of mess that due to the war and due to all this kind of turmoil about the emotional need and also about the brokenness, depression in their soul. Well, we took off from Los Angeles, arrived Turkey, and then from Turkey, we went to Erbil, the northern part of Iraq. We were so excited. We're there. Most of the time, we spent in the northern part, and they were relatively safe because it's relatively speaking, that belongs to Kurdistan. So they are pretty friendly to Americans. And so we can enjoy a lot of security and safety because we're well protected. And you can, as you can see, that the ISIS two and a half years ago occupied western part of Iraq, and then they attacked the homeland of the Yazidi people. That's called Sinjar. Roughly, they have about 700,000 people, but now may reduce to 500,000 people. They fled to the mountain and lay for 9 days. No food, no water, no help, no medical care. And then somehow later on, because of international press, the nation, those voicing up against the ISIS, and then the Kurdistan government helped them to put them in the northern part of Iraq and many refugee camps. The area that we went to called their two major cities, Duhok and also Sahok. And there also, we also went to another place that have little care from outside. By the time we arrived, we met this Yazidi pastor. This pastor shared with us that you Westerner, including us, you guys do not know how to share the gospel with us. You cannot just tell us about Jesus because we have no such kind of theologies as you guys have hold. Well, the best way we can know that Jesus is one of the prophets or one of the angels. Because Yazidi people, for thousands of years, they pretty much just like close the door and they enjoy their lives. And they worship the peacocks, treating it as one of the angels from the heavenly. And so they have never had the opportunity to hear about the gospel. So this man, one of the early birds into the kingdom of God, he shared with us, now, this is the way I did it. I always talk to them. For the Muslim, they worship Allah and they kill you. For the Christian, they worship Jesus and they care for you. Which side did you want to go with? Christians, that's grace. Then you worship Jesus. And that's the way that he led people to Christ. Now, how much those people could understand so-called Christianity is still a question. Because that particular ethnic group have no written language. All they have is just like the wordings. So it's difficult for them to so-called read the Bible because they have no language. Therefore, We learned the lesson is approach from their physical need, provision, and protection. As you saw in the video, we visited a barn house. That barn house belongs to Christian groups. In those regions, there are four major groups of people. Besides the Yazidis and the Muslims, there's a Chaldeans and also Assyrians. The last two groups have a lot of so-called Christians for 1,000 years, but they are actually nominal Christians. And then in this situation, they offer this so-called refugee or IDP, internally displaced people, offer them a place to stay free in exchange of their service of tending their livestock. However, someone helped this particular person, helped him to apply for the refugee identity card, but later on stole his card and get all the welfare, all the food from him. The food had never reached his hand. His family remained very poor. So by the time we visited his house, so-called his house, it was so clean because he had no furniture, nothing at all, except there's some blankets on the floor. So he has a bad impression towards the so-called Christians. Well, we felt so sad. We felt like that we should offer a good testimony, represent the genuine, authentic Christians. We went to purchase a full load of, you know, pickup truck of food, or grocery, and deliver to them. Now, as you can see, there's one person that on my right-hand side with this dress in all white. He is a priest of Yazidi. At that moment, I thought about, should I give him the food too? But later on, I feel like that there's no discrimination. He's still a human being, need the good news to hear about the gospel. And I gave him the grocery. This is my honor. Representing our church to bless him, hoping that he will recognize more than gifts, because we give love, that he would get to know Jesus Christ someday. Well, as I mentioned too, in the documentary video, I find out that out of 100 people who are receiving gifts from us, maybe only one or two people would look at us, give us an eye contact, because they feel so shameful and lost the dignity to receive so-called mercy from the outsider, the stranger. So our group decided to purchase something more, the new clothes and new shoes for the children, as an expression to tell these people, this particular group of people that living in the barn house, that we do care. So we asked the children to come back, and we want to honor them and hug them and show them their dignity and restore them the honor in a very, very small way, as best that we could do. But remember this guy? He came back, but put on the same jacket. Probably this is the only jacket he had. But he changed his clothes, and he came, and then we have a warm hug with each other, because I believe that his heart was touched because of this stranger's love. Well, not only we offer them the basic need prior to sharing the gospel, we also need to help to give the protection. Well, what can we do? I met this guy. He was our translator. He was I believe that even though he was still not a believer, but he is a man of integrity. Because in the last 2 years, he has been working with the team, and then everybody said that this guy really has the integrity. He led 5 of his brothers and 1 sister, went moved to Germany and also moved to Canada with this asylum. And he stayed behind to take care of the aging grandmother and mother. Wow, I really admired him. He could leave, but he decided to stay. And this man shared with me a lot of story and said that if someday that you can move to outside, let's say reach Canada, I really want to help you to publish your book so that we can become the voice for this. Yazidi people. A decade ago, I made a prayer. I said, God, if we can serve the people, that's wonderful. We want to win the people for Christ. But wouldn't it be more wonderful if we can reach out to a people group? At that time, I didn't know what I was praying about. People groups, you must be kidding. We are just like a small church, relatively speaking. But then, this time, by the time I arrived, I recognized that this is really a people group. They are at the edge of being genocide. Throughout their history, they went through 72 times being genocide. Wow, that was really bad. And I felt like that the Lord placed in my heart that at least this would be a group. Then you come back and you can make videos and share about the stories. And then at least let the Chinese community, Asian communities, or whatever communities to hear about the need of them and offer them the help. So may God use us. Our church will become a church that helps to become a sounding board of the cry and the voice of these people. Well, now, let's move on to the spiritual needs. These people, after they receive medical care, some of them, if they were willing, we ask them, may we pray for you? And just like this lady, after prayer, the pain on her arm, gone. Oh, we said that. Jesus! Glory to God. Whether she know who Jesus was, is Son of God or just one of the angels, but at least she experienced Jesus healed her. Well, just say another lady, I have the honor to pray for her. And she said that all the stomach problem gone. So she was so joyful. Or just like this man, he has shoulder problem. And pray for him. And then it's just doing the basic, okay, from 0 to 10 now, how much more pain? Any reduce, any reduction? And they said, all heal, no more pain. I said, praise the Lord. And then another person, yeah, give the Lord a hand. We went to this village, and then these two men approached me and said they want to receive prayer. Now, there was another young man, Asian American, came with me. I said, now, this time, you pray. I will just back you up. And after prayer, the two men said that, no more pain. And then I said that, wow, now, I want to invite you to go to our medical clinic. He said, why should I go? I have no more pain. I don't even need to go. Well, praise the Lord. And then also, we visit this family. First, pray for the husband, well, because he is the head of the household. And then he said that he has chest pain and then headache. And then after prayer, and then he said, significant improvement, no more headache. And then he called his older son, hey, come, to receive prayer from these people. And then his son got healed. And then, come, my wife, come to receive prayer. And then the back pain of his wife also gone. So we really praise the Lord. You know, the thing looked more happier. I was really happy because I didn't pray directly myself. I asked the three Asian Americans who came with me and extend a hand to pray for them. Now they are more on a more traditional kind of background, a church, and I was really excited for them. They're able to experience the power of God, the how to get to these people through them. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Well, there were many people didn't get healed. That's why I didn't take the picture and didn't show you. But you know, that just proven to us that God is in full control. It's not because of us. It's all because of Him. We are just like the channel to be used by God. But wherever we went to, we just tried to say that, may we pray for you. Now, but sometimes God did show up directly. Just like the pastor on your left-hand side. The reason that I blocked his face because he is a pastor in a house church. This means secretly underground. While the other pastor, Pastor Fidel, is pastoring a open-door church. This means he has a building. So everybody, Muslim, the local government, recognize him. He is coming to our church in June 11th. We are going to ordain him. This will be our honor. As an immigrant church, as a Asian American church, that we can ordain a Iraqi pastor. Because even though he became pastor for more than 20 years, no one ordained him. Because there are only two churches, evangelical churches, in that city called Sahel. And his church is the largest, 40 people. But you got to understand, he ministered to so many refugee camps, talking about 10,000 people. We have partnership with all of us here. because the resources coming from these immigrant churches that he know, recognize, and one American church in the Bay Area, he could provide help to these people. Now, but make the long story short, the pastor who became the house house church pastor, 20 years ago, well, actually more than 20 years, 1992, Pastor Fidel newly became a Christian for 1 year, gave him a Bible. Now, because they went to school and they studied Arab, so they read in Arab. That guy said that, "I want to throw away Bible. I'm a Yazidi. I worship Pico only." Then, few days later, Jesus revealed it to him in a dream. And then show him about what happened in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. After he woke up, the following day, he began to witness to Muslim, Yazidi, Chaldean, and then Assyrian, everybody. And then until now, he has been a pastor for so many years. So you see the power that Jesus revealed himself directly to a lot of people. But our job being there is to become the ambassador for Christ and the agent for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned to you about helping the people with the physical need and sharing with them about the spiritual need, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk about the emotional portion. This boy, his father was killed by the ISIS. And I learned about that after he came out from the clinic, and I asked for the permission to hold him up. And I remember one thing. I don't know how old he is now. He could be 3 or 4 years old. But when I was 4 years old, one day, my mother came to the room with so many relatives, and she cried to me, "Your father died." So, my father died. And someone just hold me up and put me in his arm, and just like this picture. Now I have the honor, a play as a father figure, to hold up this little boy. My prayer was, "God, may the love of the Heavenly Father someday would invade his heart. He may not know you now, but someday, who knows that whether I can see him again. But I want the love of Heavenly Father will come upon this man, this boy, and mark his life and bless him." That's the best I can do. I don't know how much healing that can bring to him, but at least this is my golden opportunity that I can serve this little boy for Jesus. Another lady, I need to block her face just to protect her. I cannot tell you her name, just for the sake of protection of her. She witnessed so many Yazidi ladies being sold as a sex slave in the public market, and also those ladies being locked up in the so-called a dark room or jail, and some ladies being killed with the blood on the floor. I'm so sorry, that's a little graphic, and you may close your eyes without seeing it. I should warn you ahead of time, but please forgive me. But can you tell how much pain, depression, fear, or PTSD that they would experience after they have encountered this kind of torture and nightmare? Now, this is another family I show you in the documentary video. Three of them, their father told them, "Keep running, go over there. I, my brother, will catch you up with you." By the time they and their mother reached the other side, they looked back and saw the father and the uncle get shot and killed by the IC within 500 meters. And so by the time someone told us about their presence, the ladies called Lila, 20 years old. And then they said that, "You guys must go to this address to visit them." Because they're wandering in the street because they lost all the mail and they could not survive in a male-predominating society. People would just like discriminate them and take advantage on them. So one day, Lila was wandering on the street and then someone saw her and took them took her in and took the family in to house them temporarily. And by the time they saw us, and then one of the lady, 68 years old, just her mother, and then Lila just ran to her and then hugged her and they cried for 20 minutes, nonstop. While other people, the other two more just shared with us what's going on through a translator. And then there was the older woman was the mother. I didn't see her cry because I could imagine in the last 2.5 years, she cried out all her tears. She was tearless, but she was so painful. Well, by the time we left, at least they came out. And I began to see some smile on their face. Hopefully, this reflects something that they would sense the love and care from this stranger or foreigners. May we become the hands of Jesus that embrace them. May we, our feet, will become the feet of Jesus to bring us to this needy and offer them the hope. You know, nowadays, even the Iraqi government said that clearly, they have no solution to heal these people. And then there's so many people suicidal and in violence. What could we do? Well, get on board. We can try to help them through offering them material need, but also you can join the next summer mission team or to raise awareness. Just share the video with your friends, your classmates, your colleague or your boss or whoever that you can find out. And then just share with them the needs of these Yazidi people and help out to pray for them. But no matter whether you have this burden or not, for these people, at least we can start with the people around us because they all need love. More than gifts, give love. And that is the train that we need to get on. Not only get them on the train, but get them into the train and we can cultivate love. I want to, in the last chapter of my presentation, I want to share with you these few stories. I visit this place. It's Dr. Paul's place. And then at first, we ran a clinic there and the children playing outside while the long line waiting, the people waiting to see the doctors. Then later I see a whole group of young people, I thought they were gang members, to come arrive. And then later on, I met this guy, Amir, and then also another young man. And then I realized that why this group of young people arrived. Amir was adopted by Dr. Paul as a son. Dr. Paul never got married. He is 61 years old. He is single. And then he adopted two sons. And Amir is one of them. He's from Southern Pacific Islands. So he shared with me about the story of Dr. Paul. And of course, I met another lady, a Western missionary, who asked me never share about his name, public life, her name, because she needed protection. But I could show the picture. And then he shared with me about the story of Dr. Paul. Dr. Paul used to be in Clinton administration. Later on, he went to this university, American University of Kurdistan, become one of the professors. He was also one of the board members, and later on, he was named to be the president of the university. Wow! But he declined. He said that the reason I come here, is not for the money, it's not for the fame. I come here, want to become one of the Iraqi and to help them. He has been living there for 9 years. By the time he reached 10 years, he could get a permanent residency. He learned the language, and he wanted to become the help. 1 month prior to the genocide by the ISIS, he arrived at this particular location, and he just bought the land. He bought the land. And later on, he found out that those people, there was 1,000 family, Yazidi family, was housing there by the Christian village, but the Christian later on moved away. And then just living 1,000 family means 7,000 people. Now, you got to understand, they have no more homeland to return. And then they have, Iraq now is really not in a good economy because of dropping of the oil price. So they have no job. And this means no, cannot make a living and no hope. I ran into a young man, as young as a lot of you here. And then he just had nearly a 7 or 9 months old baby. And he said that he wanted to die. Why? He said that I could not afford to raise my family. And I feel so sad. I have no hope and I want to die. So this Dr. Paul hired the Yazidi young people, limited to 17 years old or younger. Why? Because he offered them the job as an expression of meeting their physical need. And at the same time, he opened up English class to teach them the English. He could speak the Kurdistan language, but he could not speak the Yazidi language. So he teach these people English, and the textbook, only textbook is Bible. In other words, he does Bible study with them every day. And then afterward, hopefully turn all these 50, 60 people into the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these young men call him Daddy. Wow, how sweet it is. Papa, Papa. And then he is going to turn these people, 50, 60 of young people, into the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that his heart, he shared with me, I don't come here for doing humanitarian work. I come here for the sake of preaching gospel. But I cannot reach the goal until I meet their needs so that they can believe that we as a Christian, we love them enough and offer them the good news. So his plan, I believe his plan, will become making these people, young people, become the missionary and become church planter, that they can someday plant churches among the Muslim country. Isn't it smart and wonderful? And then also, he have this computer class and also the sewing machine class. He only have 3 sewing machines. On the back, that outside the window, you can see that he tried to raise more vegetable and food for those people. And as we mentioned, he tried to build a place as a dormitory, a safe house for the 28 ladies recently fled from ISIS. And then also, according to the figure, there were 150 widows in the camp, 150 orphans in the camp. And he wanted to help them, but he lacked the funding. Well, this is another view of this building. After we learned the thing, and then we said that we want to help because we carry our church. I'm really grateful for our church. We raised $12,000. Well, actually, to be exact, with $13,000 US dollar to support these people. But we brought 1,200. And then together with our team members from other churches. And then we just gave him totally $20,000. He was praying in the mountain. In the last minute before we left the place, he came down and he met with us. And then because we heard about that thing, and then we learned the story, we said that, Dr. Paul, here's the money. We trust you. We want to give you our gift from North America. We love you. And then he was so touched because that was the answer of his prayer. While he was in the mountain for 2 days, he was praying for the funding. And then now we came, and then we offered him, and then he purchased the generator because it was broken and stopped all the works. And now, this is newly, 1 week ago, I received this picture, and he purchased that. You know, I was so touched because we have been in the receiving end because of the whole building. We still need to pay the loan. Like, by the time next month, we still need to, we need to pay $50,000. We're missing now $35,000. We are on the receiving end. But suddenly, after we heard about this testimony, we become the giving end to bless this person who was in the receiving end. When we walk out of the room and left that place, we feel so honorable and so grateful that we will become the agent used by God to answer, become the answering of another person's prayer. Well, I want to encourage you to share this need. Sponsor a sewing machine, just $300. You can withhold yourself from going out to eat 10 times or maybe 5 times. You will get that money. And then you can help a person, those previous sex slaves who have no social status in the back to the community, who could have no way of making a living except to sew cloths and sell in the store. Please help. We went to another place. That was at the intersection of borderlines of Syria, Turkey, and Iraq. We were there, and just like the picture you see, I and Pastor Ye standing on the Iraqi soil, if we could swim 1,000 meters, then we can just cross the river and reach Syria without passport and visa. Well, that was the refugee camp. That was the poorest refugee camp that we could ever see. And then throughout the last 2.5 years, there was only one time outside help to came to them. Other than that, nothing. 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 So we the second day we came back, we just purchased grocery for them, and then we gave them the grocery. This particular boy, he lost both of his parents, killed by ISIS. So we gave him a special treat. So get him into our bus. I gave him a new pair of a T-shirt or sweater, something like that, and then gave him a hug. That's the best we could do. And then they asked for something more. Because this time, we give them the food. $25 of grocery can help them to live through 1 month with 10 people. But after that, what's next? When is the next help to come? So they ask, can you guys help us to buy sheep? For the ewe, the female sheep, is a little cheaper than 300. For the ram, is 300. Let's say 300. If we can help them, 80 families, if we can help them, each will have one ewe, then they can have milk, and then they can have the later on in the future, and then we'll have little lambs. And because we also will purchase some rams too. So I just want to bring to you this need, that how much you can mean for them. So when we give love, we give more faith, more joy, more strength to other people. At the same time, we also receive more faith, more joy, and more strength. Let me close with this. This is the medical team. We ran into this lady. I also mentioned to you in the video. Her name is Nori. She was pregnant for 5 months. And then one time while she was cooking, she got burned with the cloth. And then her whole right arm was burned severely. She was under tremendous pain that she lost all her appetite. She couldn't eat, and the baby was dying, and she was dying. And it was supposed to be a happy thing to have a baby, but it became a sad thing because now two lives are going to be lost. So at that moment, while she was the whole family was so desperate and then lost hope, suddenly we show up. And the doctor never ordered the IV solution. That particular trip, he ordered an IV solution. Now, he had the IV solution, but the problem is there was no plastic tube. The doctor went back to her room. The room is just like empty, except one thing hanging on the wall as the decoration. That was the tube. Because a long time ago, when she went to the hospital, a nurse gave her the plastic tube, and she didn't know how to use it, and there was no use, but she still hang it on the wall as the decoration. And suddenly, now recognize, wait, the tube and the IV solution all put together and then with a needle, and the doctor gave her the injection, and obviously, and then she, after two weeks, we received this picture after we came back, she became a lot better. Now, she may not receive the healing directly through our prayer, but can you believe that? Do you think that this is coincidence to have the plastic tube on her wall as a decoration and then IV solution and from the doctor brought it there? That was a miracle. God's care for her, but also God strengthened our faith, knowing that God is so real, even in over this land. And this guy called Willie, he was a leader of the trip. Actually, he finished 7 trips over there. Now, he went through 2 strokes. The first stroke, he is just like 50 years old. The first stroke caused him to lose his left eye. He was blind. And then the second stroke caused him to lose the sight of his right eye. That was really sad. But at that moment, a doctor showed up and saying that, hey, I can help you with the injection. But you got to get an injection every 6 weeks for the rest of your life. Well, of course, no matter how expensive that injection, you still want to have keep this eye function. And then he started to make a prayer to God. God, as long as I have this sight, I want to go to help people. I want to go to this trip to help this refugee. And he was. He just came back from another trip after us yesterday, last night. And he's going back again in June. Seeing these people, that really tell you about what does he mean by faith. We all live in a comfort zone. But there are some people who take the faith, spell the faith as risk, R-I-S-K. And when he is there, and then he witnessed so many blessings, not come directly to him, but to those people that he served. And because of him, that these are talking about thousands of people have received help because of our arrival, our presence to help them. I really don't need to do the closing with this lamb. There was a family of seven. Two and a half years ago, they were surrounded by the IC groups, two groups. One behind them on the left, one behind them on the right. And then they get lost, and they were trying to escape. And out of the desperation, because they know that once they were captured, the male would be beheaded by the IC, the women and the children would become sex slaves, or to be trained to be suicidal bombers. So, out of nowhere, suddenly, there was a lamb ran in front of them, seemingly want to lead them the way out. But they think that, well, we are shepherd. We know we lead the sheep. Never heard that the sheep would lead the shepherd. They ignored the lamb. But later on, the lamb came back and then just seemingly want to lead them out. So ultimately, follow the lamb. And then after a while, and then they get out, they lost the ISIS group, and then they lost the lamb. The lamb disappeared. A while later, some people told this family, saying that, don't you know that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God? How God sent Jesus to the world to save people, God sent the angel, the Lamb, to save you guys. Isn't it wonderful? That really strengthened our faith, seeing that God wants to protect us. God wants to guide us. So this is your call. I think this date may not be exactly, it may be changed. June 17th to July 5th, there's another team going to this land. Our job, we have totally about 15 people, but we only have six name slots to go because other church of five people already signed up and also have some other veterans. So we have maximum of six people can go is to teach VBS. If you love the children, please sign up. And you need to do it quick because we need 1 month extra in advance to help you to get a shot and the vaccine. So within this week, anyone, if God moved in your heart and call you to get on the train and get on board to help these people with this mission trip, please sign up with the pastor. And if you are not medical personnel, you can still join to offer your hands to hug the people for them, for Jesus. And this would, let me close with it. Let's get on the train. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we give thanks to you that we have the opportunity to serve the Lord through extending our hands and feet to walk into this land to bless these people. Will you bless this church? We will become a voice of Yazidi people. And we will also help these people to receive much care medically, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Use our church and call us on board. Thank you, Lord. And for those who may not go, or may not feel guided to go. You just help us to start right at where we are, to reach out to those needy who are around us, to offer them our love. More than gifts, we give love. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing the song, Cornerstone.